which one of these four items doesn't belong? We've got a box, I think. Keep it coming. There you go. We've got a box with four items in it. One of them doesn't go. Waffle, bacon, polka dancing, eggs. What do you think? Eggs. Polka dancing. All right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. You can't eat polka dancing, I don't think. So, okay, how about, are you ready for another one? You ready? Flap noodle, pencils, crayons, books. What do you got? Flap noodle. I don't even know what a flap noodle is. That sounds like it's not a school supply, I don't think. So, no, not. Okay. How about a little more challenging? Are we ready? Emerald, platypus, mint, forest. Ooh, a tricky. Who says platypus? Yeah, that's right. You can't. The other three are shades of green, right? Emerald, mint, forest. Okay, yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe platypuses are green. I don't think so, though. That's not. It doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. All right, one more. Opera singer, flamethrower, astronaut, iceberg. Which one doesn't belong? Iceberg. Somebody said iceberg. That's the one that doesn't belong, right? You can't be an iceberg when you grow up, kids. I mean, that's not a, right? I mean, your parents may not want you to be a flamethrower either, but that, I guess, is an option for you, all right? An iceberg doesn't belong. Today we're going to read from a book in the Bible, a letter that was written to people who didn't belong, people who were out of place, people who were, I don't know, they were like flap noodles in a list of school supplies, okay? They didn't belong. They were strangers. They didn't fit. They were exiles. Exiles. That's what the letter itself calls them, exiles. That letter is the book of 1 Peter in the Bible. So would you open your Bibles with me there? 1 Peter, it's a short book of the Bible near the very end. 1 Peter, if you're using one of the Bibles available in the seats, 1 Peter begins on page 588. 588. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 1 to begin, but keep your place. We'll be back in 1 Peter throughout the morning, okay? But for now, let's just begin by reading verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. 1 Peter, this book of the Bible, it is a letter. Have you ever gotten a letter in the mail? Like a note with actual handwritten words on it. Yes, it's rare, but that does happen still today, I think. 1 Peter is that kind of a letter. It's written almost 2,000 years ago, which isn't that just incredible that it's in our hands this morning, that we can read it today? I love it, the miracle of the Bible. 1 Peter is a letter, and the first verse of 1 Peter kind of functions like the envelope. You, when you receive a letter in the mail, you can look at the envelope and you can see who the letter is from, and you can see who the letter is written to. And verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1 gives us that information. In the first line, we see who it's from. And the from is Peter. It's from Peter, and he calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter is the sender. Peter is the one who is writing this book. Peter. Who was Peter? Peter knew Jesus personally. Jesus, who is God the Son, when Jesus was on the earth, Jesus gathered 12 people to himself, disciples, to be with him, to learn from him, to be sent out by him. And Peter was one of those. He was one of the closest of Jesus' disciples. He knew Jesus personally. And about 30 years or so after Jesus died on a cross, was raised back to life, and ascended into heaven, about 30 years after that, that's when Peter is writing this letter. He's writing a letter. Who is he writing it to? Who's Peter sending the letter to? We see that in the same verse. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. And then Peter is going to list out the places where all these people who are dispersed, who are scattered, where they are. And those are cities in Pontus, Galatia, or cities or regions. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Paul himself is in the city of Rome. That's where Peter is in the letter, is in the city of Rome. And he's sending this letter out from Rome, where he is, to the people who are scattered in all these places. People who Peter refers to here as exiles. You see that word in there? Exiles. An exile, just simply put, an exile is someone who just doesn't fully belong. They're living somewhere that feels strange to them, foreign to them. Exiles exist in a place, but they don't really fit in that place. They don't belong. And Peter, Peter doesn't mean that the people he's writing to, that they don't just belong in Pontus or Galatia or Cappadocia or Asia or Bithynia. He means to you who don't fully belong in this world at all. Exiles. Have you ever had a sleepover at someone's house, someone else's house, like your grandma's house, cousin's house, a friend's house? Sleepovers can be really great things. Yes? Sleepovers are fun. But have you ever been on a sleepover and you notice, like, obviously, the rooms of wherever that sleepover is, they're not in the same place where the rooms at your house are. Yeah. You're like, I don't know how to get where I'm going. Right. Or you're at a sleepover's house and you're like, man, this house just doesn't smell like my house. Right. It doesn't smell the same. Just a little, it's different. Or the bed where you're sleeping on, on a sleepover, it's definitely not as comfortable as your own bed at home, right? Like, it's a good thing a sleepover is just temporary. It's just for one night, right? Yeah, this is somebody's house. You're on a sleepover. Like, this, somebody lives here, but you just get this sense that, like, I wasn't made for this home. I wasn't made for this home. That's who 1 Peter is written to. To exiles. They live in this world. They live in these places, but they're not permanent residents there. They feel like they know in their souls, they're not really made for here and now. They don't fully belong. We're going to spend 5 weeks at TCC in this letter. We're going to read the words that Peter had to say to these exiles. Well, we're going to begin today by asking some questions about these exiles themselves. And we'll see, are we anything like they are? Are we exiles too? So let's start with this question. Why are they exiles? Why are they exiles? Peter calls them exiles, but why does he do that? What makes them not belong here? What makes them not belong in this world? They don't belong in this world because they belong somewhere else. They belong somewhere else. Look again at verse 1. It says, to those who are elect exiles. These exiles have been elected. That simply means they've been chosen. They've been chosen to belong somewhere else. Not in this world, but to God. To God and with God. They're not just exiles. They're elect exiles. They've been chosen. We're all born belonging to this world. Maybe that's obvious. Of course we are. We're all born belonging to this world. But Peter writes to these people, to these exiles, and he says this. Now look at verse 3 with me. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You were born into this world, but Peter reminds these exiles, they have been born again. They have been born again. And he doesn't mean physically. He doesn't mean they became babies one more time. He means their hearts are reborn. He means their hearts have been resurrected, made newly alive by God, spiritually born again. Their hearts, like all human hearts, have sinned against God. And their sin, because humans don't love or trust or obey God as God created us to, created them to, their sin only brings eternal death. But God, in love, sent Jesus to take their sin, to die for their sin on a cross, and Jesus rose to life. That's what verse 3 tells us, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And now Jesus brings sinners from death to life. He did that for these people that Peter's writing to. They were born again, and he still does that for us today. That happened for me 34 years ago. I was 6 years old when I heard the good news that Jesus died on a cross for my sin, that he rose to life, that I could be born again, that I could belong to him. I was 6 years old. God loved and chose me, not because of anything about myself. I'm just a sinner, but because of his love. And I was born again. God caused me to turn from my sin. He caused me to believe in Jesus. I was baptized as a way to display that I now believe in and belong to Jesus. And I've been in exile, meaning I've been spiritually an exile in this world ever since, meaning I don't I don't fully belong in this world. I belong to God because of Jesus. Peter puts it this way in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You can glance over there if you'd like. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. These people Peter is writing to, they're exiles because they've been born again to belong to Jesus. And friends, we're exiles too. If you've been born again to belong to Jesus, you don't fully belong in this world. Christians are exiles. And that's actually only a good thing. Why? Let's ask that question next. Why is it good for them to be exiles? And the answer that the text gives us is because now they can have life and not death. Now they can have life and not death. To belong to this world, or maybe we say it this way, to not belong to Jesus only brings death. But Jesus is life. Jesus is life. Look again at verse 3. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, okay? Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We're going to notice two phrases in those verses. And the first is living hope. Living hope. Why is it good for them to be exiles? Because exiles have a living hope. Jesus, who died, is now alive. The one who these exiles belong to is the one who rose from the dead and who can and who will raise them from death itself. That's the one I want to belong to, right? I want to belong to the one who has undone death. The opposite of a living hope, we might say, is a dying despair. I'd much rather have a living hope and be an exile in this world. A living hope. Why is it good for them? Why is it good for us to be exiles here? Because we have a living hope with, and look at verse 4, this is where we see, with an inheritance. That's the other good thing about being an exile. God has an inheritance for those who believe and belong to him. What's an inheritance? An inheritance is what you might receive from someone at the end of their life. Right? Like from maybe a family member, usually they give you or they leave you an inheritance. That inheritance, maybe it's a piece of furniture or some jewelry. You might inherit a house or some property. Maybe you have like a secret family treasure. That would be your inheritance. That'd be great. Like a box of diamonds or $1 million or like Chick-fil-A for life. That's the kind of inheritance that we want, right? We'd all like, parents are like, yeah, right, kids. don't think that's not going to happen, right? We'd all like a good inheritance though, right? We would all like a good inheritance. Peter writes to these exiles though, and he says, hey, God has an inheritance for you. God has an inheritance for you, a treasure beyond all treasure. What is the inheritance? It's life eternal with God himself. Life eternal with God forever. That's the inheritance. And this inheritance, unlike any other inheritance that we might receive in this world, Peter says, look what he says. He says the inheritance for exiles is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven. What does that mean? It means this inheritance can't be ruined. It can't be destroyed. It can't lose its value. This is the best inheritance. I did a science project in school. One of those with like the trifold displays. Anybody else do a science project back in the day? In the 90s, we did science projects. Yeah. Anyway, for my project, I buried some items in some dirt. Okay. And like a metal lid of a can, a sock, a banana peel, that kind of stuff. Just a bunch of items. I buried them in the dirt and I just let them stay that way for like 6 weeks or something like that. Just a long time. And then I dug them all up to see what had happened. I got them labeled where they're supposed to be, and I dug where they were. And some of the items, the banana peel for one, was just gone. It wasn't there anymore. It totally decayed back into the soil. Some things, you know, the sock was just kind of dirty, nasty. The metal can lid was just like it usually was 6 weeks ago. It really hadn't much changed, right? And I guess the point of the science project was like the process of decomposition. I don't know. I just like, it was just fun to play in the dirt, you know, just good fun. That was a science project. But the idea I think was that some things decay more quickly than others. There's a process. But eventually, in decades or centuries, in thousands, millions of years, all of those objects would be ruined, right? They would all fade away. And friends, everything about this world, everything here, all the things here, they're temporary. They're not going to last. The things that we might say are our best things here in this life, they're eventually going to be gone. Not just our possessions, not just the things that we own, but our society, our government, our politics, our culture. This world doesn't last. But the good news for exiles is, for those who belong to God through Jesus, our inheritance doesn't ever decompose. It doesn't. Look, it's imperishable. It's undefiled. It's unfading. It's a heavenly, it's an eternal inheritance. Exiles have a living hope. Life with God for days without end. Why are they exiles? Why is it good for them to be exiles? And let's ask one more question about the people who are getting this letter from Peter. How long will they be exiled? How long will they be? That's the question that every exile wants to ask, right? How long? When you don't belong somewhere, then you want to know, how long is this going to last? Kids, students in the room, have you ever been somewhere with your parents and they're having a conversation with some other adults and you don't belong in the conversation, right? Like, this is not where I want to be. This is not how I, the only question in your mind is like, how long is this going to last, right? How long do I have to be here in this conversation? How long, right? How long will this last? How long will I be here but not really belong here? You ever felt that way? How long will I be here but not ever really belong here? How much longer do I have to endure being just out of place? And how long will the exiles that Peter is writing to, how long will they be exiled? Look down at verse 6. He writes, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Now, how long does he say? For a little while. For a little while. Exile. For those who believe in and belong to Jesus, exile in this world, it really won't last that long. Peter says, for a little while. Peter uses that same phrase later in the book, in the last chapter, for a little while. Oh, just a little while. How long will they be exiled? Just a little while. And friends, maybe your exile, if you belong to Jesus today, then maybe being in this world, it doesn't feel like a little while. Maybe it seems like a long time in this world of not belonging. Exiles in this world, Peter says there in verse 6, you have been grieved by various trials. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe living in this world just feels like a long trial to you. Have you ever said to Jesus, how long, Jesus? How much longer? But Peter reminds these exiles, compared with the eternity that's coming, compared with the countless years of eternal inheritance with Jesus that's coming, this exile, friends, oh, it's just a little while. It's just a little while. And then Peter says, you're going to be with Jesus himself. In verse 7, Peter mentions the revelation of Jesus Christ. All he means is Jesus is going to be revealed. Jesus is going to be made known. Jesus is going to be with us. We were not going to be exiles always. Christians, someday we're going to be where we belong. Someday we're going to be where we belong with Jesus, the best place. This exile, it really is temporary. Until then, look at verse 8. I want to read verse 8. Until then, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. I've just come to love verse 8. I mean, it is just the delight of my soul. It's so encouraging to me. It says, we don't see Jesus now, but Peter says, oh, you love him. You love him because he is real, because he is so good to you, because he has loved you first. You don't see him, but you love him and you keep believing in him and you keep rejoicing with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory. Why? Because just in a little while, in just a little while, you're going to be with him permanently. Someday we'll be where we belong, exiles, with Jesus, the best place. 1 Peter is written to exiles, elect exiles. So that means that it's for us too. If we've been born again, if we have believed that Jesus died for our sins and rose alive to make us alive, if we belong to him, then we are exiles too. We're exiles in this world. Except Except you and I, sometimes, those of us who have been born again, who believe in Jesus, we'd sometimes rather not live like exiles, right? This world isn't really where we belong, but it sure is where we think and act and speak and wait like we do belong sometimes, right? We try to make this world our permanent place anyway. It would be really strange if you were at a sleepover and you just started unpacking your suitcase. Like, here's where I live full time now. This is it. I mean, the people who are in the house are like, what are you doing? Stop. Pack it back up, right? Wait. This is not where you belong. You don't stay in the sleepover house, but that's how, sometimes that's how we who believe in and belong to Jesus, that's sometimes what we do. That all that's happening in our society, all that's happening in our government or our politics, all that's happening in our culture, in our world, that's what matters the most. And I'm going to hunker down here. This is the permanent thing. And so we move in here as if to stay. But if we belong to God, then he's what matters most. We're exiles here. We don't stay. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't care or we shouldn't engage in this world. While we're exiles in this world, how we think, how we act, how we speak, how we wait, all of that matters. But this place is not number one to us. It's not number one to us. This world doesn't have our first allegiance. This world doesn't have our primary loyalty. This world doesn't have our deepest love. This world, let me say it this way, this world shouldn't be where we're the most comfortable. It shouldn't be where we're the most comfortable. We're exiles. That means we're going to be different. If you're a Christian, it means we're going to be different. We're going to be strangers here. We're going to have a really unique presence in this temporary place. If we belong to Jesus, we're going to live in this world as exiles like Jesus. 1 Peter is written to exiles. And 1 Peter, we're going to see together in our series, friends, church, Peter goes on in this letter to remind these exiles that who they are will determine how they live. Who they are will determine how they live. How do exiles think then? How do exiles act? How do exiles speak? How do exiles wait? Our series together in this book is going to ask and answer those questions. What does it mean to live as an exile in this world? 1 Peter is going to teach us. But first, are you an exile? Are you an exile? Meaning, do you belong to Jesus? Have you been born again to a living hope? Have you believed in his death and his resurrection? Do you have that living hope? Do you have that eternal inheritance? Do you know that Jesus is better and seeing him, being with him is everything? There's good news for you today, friends. Jesus still makes exiles. He still makes exiles. He still brings sinners out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You can believe in and belong to Jesus even today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the letter of 1 Peter. God, thank you for how it reminds us, God, that you through Jesus choose us to belong not to this world, but to you. Thank you, Jesus, for making us yours, by loving us, by dying for us, by giving us your living hope. I pray that you let us not live as those who belong most of all here, but who just belong to you. That's the best thing. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.